many ways to God? The Bible leaves no room for doubt. In John 14:6, Christ says, quote, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me," end quote. Acts 4:12 states, quote, "There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved," end quote. If you can get to heaven any other way, you will be witness throughout eternity to the fact that Jesus Christ spoke falsely, as he has already said that there was no other way. But since he gives a full evidence of being the Son of God, is it not folly to try and come to God by any other way than through Christ himself, who claims to be God's appointed way? The real reason we want some other way is because the way of the cross is a humbling way, and we are proud at heart. But let us remember the way of the cross was a humbling way for Christ also, as we read in Philippians 2:5-8, quote, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross," end quote. All the argument over the many ways to God will not be necessary if it is accepted that Jesus is God, which Scripture affirms over and over. Jesus said in John 14:9-10, quote, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. I am in the Father, and the Father in me," end quote. We have a debt to pay. Some people have suggested that all a person needs to do is sincerely reform, do better in the future, and thus live down past shortcomings. This is supposed to make one fit for heaven. But will it work? Let us assume that the manager of a business goes to his accountant and finds that his company owed $50,000 to the manufacturers and other merchants. He says, "Write letters to all those people and tell them that we are not going to trouble about the past, and that we have turned over new pages on our ledger, but we promise to pay 100 cents on the dollar in all future businesses, and from now on to live up to the highest standard of business integrity." The accountant would think his employer had gone mad, and would refuse to put such a proposition to the creditors. Yet thousands of otherwise sensible people are trying to get to heaven by just such a proposal, offering to meet their obligations towards God for the future, but refusing to worry about the past at all. Yet in Ecclesiastes 3:15 we read, quote, "God requireth that which is past," end quote. Even if we assume that we can somehow begin to live an absolutely perfect life, which is no better than we ought to do, but which is certainly impossible for us, we are still sinners. Jesus paid it all. God's righteousness demands that no past account be considered settled until it has been paid to the last penny and every claim of justice met. The murderer may cover his sin and live the life of a model citizen for 10 years after his crime, but when he is discovered, man's law condemns him to death. Though he has murdered no one for 10 long years, it judges him still as a murderer. To hide past sin, either thoughts, words, or deeds, by what seems to be an absolutely perfect life, still leaves us sinners in the sight of him to whom the past and the future are as open as the present. According to God's standard of holiness, we all have sinned, and we must bring that sin out in the open and have it dealt with righteously. We each need someone who can clear the books. The Bible declares that Jesus Christ is the only one who could pay his penalty. Quote, "We are reconciled to God by the death of his Son," end quote. Romans 5:10. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ gave up his life in place of ours that we might go free. Our past sin is paid for, and God, against whom we have sinned, has given us his receipt showing his satisfaction with the completed work of Christ on the cross, in that he raised him from the dead. Christ, once crucified, is now our living Savior. He died to save us from the penalty of sin, and now he lives to deliver us from the power of sin.